Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, who names and claims us as beloved. Amen. When my husband Kurt and I were waiting for our son to be born, we did what many parents-to-be do. We started a list of baby names. Boy names, girl names, gender-neutral names, family names, all kinds of names. It was important to us that we name this baby during my pregnancy because a name helped us begin to make sense of this next chapter of life. The act of giving a name drew us into relationship with one another and with this child who was slowly being formed, and as we hear in Psalm 139, intricately woven from the depths of the earth. It took us a while. We scoured websites and books and family trees in search of a name that seemed fitting for this child we did not yet know. Eventually, we settled on the name Bernie, B-E-R-N-E-Y. Our son Bernie is named after my great-great-uncle Bernie Fred Kitt. This Bernie was born in Nebraska, graduated from the University of Montana, and then became a road builder throughout the state of Montana and served as a member of the team of civil engineers who helped to design and build the Going to the Sun Road in Glacier National Park. We hoped then and now that this name would suit our Bernie too, that he will be shaped by these beautiful outdoor spaces, and perhaps more importantly, that Bernie will build roads as well. Roads built with civility and compassion and generosity and grace. Roads that will take Bernie wherever his heart leads him. I recently took a week-long class at Luther Seminary for continuing education on the entire book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It was a great class, and I was grateful for the opportunity. I learned a lot and relearned some of those things I'd forgotten, such as the importance of names in the Old Testament. The names of all these biblical characters tell stories. They are markers of identity, both for the individual, but also for the community. Take Adam, as in Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis 2. Adam is the Hebrew word for man, and it's also closely related to the Hebrew word for earth. You'll remember that God creates Adam from the earth, from the very dust of the ground. And so the name Adam prompts us to remember that we too are dust, and to dust we shall return. And then there's Abram, the exalted father. You'll recall that God later calls him Abraham, meaning the father of nations, after God has promised Abraham the gifts of land, children, and further blessing. We too are caught up in this story of blessing as this same promise made to Abraham extends to us today. And then there's Moses. As a baby, Moses' mother puts him into the Nile River in a basket because Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, has ordered for the death of all Israelite baby boys. In an ironic twist, it is Pharaoh's own daughter who rescues Moses from the river, thereby naming him Moses, which comes from the Hebrew verb meaning to draw or pull up, as she literally draws him up from the water. Moses goes on to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea, and into the Promised Land, again drawing people up from bondage and into freedom. Names matter, and the names that are given to these Bible characters often point to the past, but they also point to the future, to the ways in which God continues to call these people into further experiences. The names given to these individuals also draw us into their stories. They tell us where we too have come from and where we are going. They bind us to one another in community. Well, when we finally get to the New Testament, we meet another Bible character with an important name. He's super important for us. Any guesses? You know. Yes, Jesus! This is the first service that got it right, or tried. I should say tried. The name Jesus is a Hebrew name, and it means God saves. Jesus goes by other names, too. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, all reminders that Jesus comes as an anointed one, much like a king, to usher in a new reign, an age when what brings death is thrown into the fire, and what brings life is gathered together to bring freedom and life for all. We read in Luke's gospel that just after Jesus is baptized and he is praying, the heaven opens, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and a voice calls out to Jesus and says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." It's almost as if God is saying, "You are mine." The act of declaring this name, Son of God, serves to remind Jesus and all of us of the depth of the relationship within God's own self. We don't think of it very often, but here at Jesus' baptism, we encounter all three parts of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dancing around in beautiful splendor. It's cosmic and particular. As the heaven is opened, there is no barrier. God is on the loose, free, available to Jesus and to us. There is a small detail that is easy to overlook in this story. Jesus is baptized after all the others. All. Luke's gospel says, "When all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized." I find that detail comforting, that Jesus lines up with all the people. He's no better or worse than the rest of us, but one who enters into our experience and belongs with us. And hey, there's another name, Emmanuel, God with us. And so in our baptism too, God shows up and confirms this promise that God will be with us through thick and thin, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even more, we receive another name, Child of God, a name that affirms our identity in Christ, a name that binds us to one another in community, a name that shapes our past and our future, a name that tells us we are enough. "You are mine," God says. "You are mine. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. You are mine. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. You are mine." When you feel overwhelmed by the cacophony of incivility in the news, "You are mine." When you struggle with your children, your siblings, your spouse, your parents, and your friends, "You are mine." When you experience the most unbearable tragedy, "You are mine." When you can't remember your own name, "You are mine. No matter what, I love you, and you are mine." Beloved of God, from dust you have been created by God, named and claimed for life, knit together with the whole communion of saints, all for the sake of freedom and love. You are God's daughter. You are God's son. You are God's child. And don't ever forget it. Thanks be to God. Amen.